Welcome to the November 16th, 2012, Drupalize Me podcast. Drupalize Me. So welcome to the Drupalize Me podcast, where we talk about all things Drupal, and it comes out every other Friday. I am your hostess with the mostess, Addison Berry. I work at Lullabot, and today I have three kind folks with me. I have Brock Boland, who is a developer at Lullabot, and his user ID on the Drupal world is Brock Boland. And I also have with me Kay Van Valkenburg. Did I say that right, Kay?
You did.
Yes.
Nice to be here.
And Kay's nick in the Drupal world is K_V. He's been working with Drupal for about 5 years, from what I can tell. He's a contributing author on the Definitive Guide to Drupal 7, and he has his own company called Own Sourcing, which you can find at ownsourcing.com. And then I also have Brian Hirsch, who is Brian Hirsch. He has also been working with Drupal for about 5 years, and he works for Acquia as a senior technical consultant. So
thanks for having me, Eddie.
Thanks for coming on, guys. I really appreciate it. In this podcast, we are going to talk about a really cool Drupal initiative called the Drupal Ladder, which if you've listened to other podcasts with me, you've probably heard it a number of times. So we decided we would actually get some of the core people who are involved in the Drupal Ladder to come together and actually give a little more detail and talk about that stuff and figure out like what's so cool about it and where we're going with it. Before we get into the podcast itself, just some news and announcements and events kind of stuff that's coming up. First of all, just every Wednesday we do release new videos on Drupalize.me, and we have the Omega series is still continuing. And next week is going to be the last of that. So all of the videos for the entire series will be out as of next Wednesday. And then we have new cool stuff in store for you. In terms of big news, well, yes, I mean, the biggest news for me, I was at Badcamp, and Twig was committed to core at the Badcamp keynote, which
Hooray.
I knew was coming, which was pretty awesome. So there's a lot of movement. Twig is a new templating engine for Drupal core. So it's going to kind of change the way that we do theming in Drupal 8. So that's kind of fascinating. Any other like major Drupal events? So I guess because we have Twig in core, we have Views in core, we have Symfony components in core. Dang, it's looking sexy. And then, oh my God, there's so many events. Okay, so this weekend, as in the day after this podcast comes out, we have Drupal Camp Toronto, and Jeff Eaton from Lullabot is going to be keynoting at that, and there are a number of other bots who are going to be attending, so you can find some folks there. Drupal Camp Arad in Romania, Drupal Camp Pakistan in Islamabad, the Kaohsiung Drupal Conference in Taiwan, and then there's a whole bunch of sprints. There are more and more sprints. Like, sprints is kind of becoming like the new hotness. And so there's going to be sprints in Vancouver, Cologne, London. Toronto's having an accessibility sprint. And in Brazil, they're having an online translation sprint in the Drupal-BR IRC channel. And then next weekend, yes, the list continues. Next weekend, there is Drupal Weekend in Budapest, Hungary, and Drupal Camp Northwest UK, which is just outside of Manchester. And Drupalize Me is actually a sponsor for that one, and we're giving away a free year membership to Drupalize Me if you go to the camp. So register for that. And then coming up sort of on the horizon-ish, Drupal Camp Ohio is coming up in Columbus, and there's also an Oxford Drupal Hack that's going to be coming up. So keep your eyes open for that stuff and get out in touch with your local community. And then last thing I want to mention is there's a Drupal Global Training Day on December 14th, which is basically an initiative started up by the Drupal Association to get training companies and trainers to provide free or very low-cost introductory Drupal training on the same day everywhere around the world. And so if you go to drupal.org/learn-drupal, you can get a list of where all of those events are happening. Drupalize Me is actually going to be trying something a little new, and we're going to do an online half-day training of what is Drupal. So very introductory, like, what is it? What's the story? What can it do? We'll play around with building a very simple site in a 4-hour period. So you can check more information about that out. We have like a long URL for it, but we'll have it in the podcast notes. But it's at drupalize.me/drupal-global-training-day-december-14. So go to the podcast notes. Much easier to just click the link. So tons of events going on, which is exciting. I'm always happy when the community is really energetic. And so on that note, let's talk about the Drupal Ladder Project, because I got introduced to it at DrupalCon Denver when Brian did a presentation about the work that they'd been doing. And I got really excited, and it sounded like an amazing project. So what exactly is the ladder, and how did that presentation in Denver come to be, I guess?
So the way that all came to be actually started at DrupalCon London in 2 summers ago, 7 months after Drupal 7 was released. Lots and lots of people are using Drupal 7. Popularity of Drupal is skyrocketing, and core contributors are feeling exhausted because it's humanly impossible to keep up with the growing number of tickets in the issue queue. You know, the number of people using Drupal and creating tickets just outstrips the growth of the core developer community. And so to keep up with all the good ideas and all the new demands, we need to grow our contributor community as fast or faster than we're growing our user community. And so coming out of DrupalCon London, a group of us in Boston did this sort of pilot project where we got together with core contributors like Angie Byron, Webchick, Moshe Weitzman, got some input from them about what are all the different ways that people contribute to Drupal. And then we organized that set of things into a list like a ladder, with the idea being that someone should be able to sort of start learning how to get involved with Drupal and use Drupal and work their way up to contributing, starting with, you know, zero knowledge and then sort of working their way step by step up the ladder. Idea being that each step along the way should be sort of within reach as long as you've taken the previous steps. And so we wrote some lessons and organized some issue sprints and learn sprints where we got together at the Boston user group meetup to sort of work through learning and contributing sort of step by step up the ladder. And so we came to DrupalCon Denver with this idea for the community based on this sort of proof of concept in Boston. So, you know, with user groups all around the world meeting regularly, the idea is that if user groups help their members learn about and learn how to contribute to Drupal, we could make a huge impact on the core project, closing lots of bugs, reviewing and testing proposed patches. And so looking ahead to the Drupal 8 release cycle, we'd like to help the contributor community grow to 1% of the active Drupal.org user base. And so that's where we're at now in the project, is working on expanding the project to more user groups and trying to figure out how to generate content, ladder lessons that can help people more easily learn about and contribute to Drupal.
Right on. And we have an idea of like what, so our goal is 1%, which may not sound like very much, I guess, but can you let people know, like have a sense of like what our current contributor percentage looks like?
So the developer community has grown increasingly year over year for the last 8 years. So by any standard, our development community is thriving and successful. But when you look at it as a percentage of users on Drupal.org, I think we've gone down from, if you look at XJM's blog, she's got some statistics from Drupal 4.7 up through Drupal 7, and it looks to me like we've gone down from 0.5% to 0.1% around last summer. So as a percentage of users, we've gone way down. And so to go back up to from 0.1% to 1% would be a major increase.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be pretty intense. I mean, and you think about it, like 0.1% is 1 out of every 1,000 people. 1% is 1 out of every 100 people, you know, who are out there or actually contributing. So it's And if we did that, that would be, wow, such an amazing amount of work to help people out. Indeed. So I guess, I guess I could have done this in intros too, because like one of the things is just to let people kind of have a sense of why you guys are on the call. Brian obviously sort of helped get this started, and Kay was part of the Boston user group, but we also, we've created a steering group. And so the four of us are all on that steering group, in addition to a few other people who are not on this call. And basically because we were trying to do all of these things, and poor Brian was just sort of inundated with life and work and then trying to help get this thing off the ground. And so we sort of all stepped in various roles. And so we can probably each talk a little bit about like what's going on in the various spaces that we're dealing with here. But I'm curious, like from you guys, like how's it been going so far? Like what's actually been happening? Like, are we moving forward?
Well, I think one of the things that's cool, Brian's description is a great kind of encapsulation of the need in the community and the benefit to the community. And one of the other perspectives that's interesting as well is how much it serves actual individuals and companies who are contributing to CORE and learning to contribute to CORE. So it's been really cool to hear the success stories on the level of individuals and companies where people who are adopting Drupal have found the latter useful to get themselves through some of the difficulties of learning Drupal and get themselves more involved in the community, but also connected with very good developers in the community to give them guidance on real projects, that being, you know, the growth of the code base for Drupal 8. And, you know, it's been great to see how it's not just an act of volunteering that's, you know, from generosity, but it's definitely a two-way street. Companies and individuals are getting a lot out of participating in the latter.
Yeah, I would definitely agree that I've seen that as well. Well, I mean, I find generally, whenever you are contributing, it's people say, you know, they have this thing of, oh, contributing, and I have nothing to give. But you also, it's not just a giving, it's a getting. It's generally a two-way street. And I think that one of the things I really like about the latter is that I think a lot of people are really afraid of Drupal CORE. And this makes it in a very approachable sort of format. That makes it seem achievable to people. And then they realize that getting involved with CORE is no harder than getting involved really with other things. You just sort of need to understand the pieces that are involved. So I think it's been amazing. And just from hearsay, you know, I mean, going to events, you know, doing learn sprints, going to events and talking about the Drupal ladder, and the feedback that I'm personally getting from people has been really great. So I find that pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's definitely the case in user groups too. Brian kind of mentioned that, you know, this was something to take back to user groups and do with them. And one aspect of this initiative is the two different kinds of sprints that kind of fall under this. The first is the learn sprint, where a user group will get together and everyone will kind of figure out what lesson on the ladder would be the next one for them to learn based on what they already know. And everybody will kind of work through the next lesson and you know, climb a little higher on the ladder. And the other type of sprint is the issue sprint, where people get together and actually work on CORE issues. And again, it's a two-way street on this too. When people get together to work on those things, they help out with bugs that need to be fixed in CORE, but they also get some insight into what's coming in Drupal 8, which I don't think was happening at nearly this level when Drupal 7 came around. And as we know, you know, the adoption of Drupal 7 was a bit slow, and I think part of it was that people didn't quite know what was there and how to use it. So my hope is that with having more people actually with a hand in the pot, they'll be more familiar with what's coming, and the adoption of Drupal 8 will be quicker because of it.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that, but that is a huge thing. Like, I know for me personally, being involved in CORE well before the release, like, I already feel much more comfortable and confident about what I'll need to be doing to build websites in Drupal 8. And I'm not like deeply in it. Like, I'm not, you know, into craziness with it or anything like that. Cause I think a lot of people feel like you have to really have like, I don't know, be like really deep into the code, man. But, just playing with it and seeing the improvements that people are making and just being aware of things like views is in CORE, like just actually having that knowledge and sort of being able to start looking at it and play with those things is a huge step when it actually comes to adopting it once it's released. And, you know, I mean, being part of the process of getting it there is pretty awesome when you think, like, you can wait till Drupal 8 comes out and then just start to use it, or you can actually be part of the process of making Drupal 8 come out. And when it comes out, you can be like, I helped to build that.
And you can also be one of the first people who says, yeah, I understand really clearly how it's yeah. working.
Everybody, I'm available for consulting.
Everybody involved with Drupal knows that there are some pitfalls in learning it by using it, say, on a project with deadlines.
Oh,
so it's nice to get that. Yeah, nice to get that ramp up in advance.
What would you say, like, in terms of, like, lessons learned? Because, like, you know, the idea came up, and you guys in Boston, like, you know, sort of did, like, a lot of groundwork, a lot of, like, testing and coming up with this entire, you know, not just, like, this idea of ladder lessons and such, but, like, the whole idea of a learn sprint and the issue sprint and how to pair people up so that they're working on things and feeling successful and actually moving forward. And then you presented it to the community, and it was kind of like, wee, okay, now everybody all over the world's going to, like, start trying to use this. And we have, like, quite a lot of user groups, you know, doing learn sprints and issue sprints now. And hopefully that's going to spread considerably. Do you guys have any particular, like, moments of, yeah, we should, like, sort of think this through, or, you know, maybe we should make improvements here or there?
Absolutely. It has been a really humbling process. It's been an inspiring since DrupalCon Denver to see the groundswell of enthusiasm. You know, that clearly this meets a need that, you know, people want to contribute and want to learn faster. But then it's been really humbling to see all the bottlenecks in our process trying to scale this project. And I think the single biggest bottleneck, and a critical piece to moving this forward to our goal of having ladders so that people can contribute to bug fixes in Drupal 8 by DrupalCon Portland, the biggest bottleneck is just generating content. And so, you know, generating good lessons is work. It's hard work, and it takes time, and it takes a lot of people's time. Addie generously and boldly, you know, offered herself up to coordinate a lot of that work, but this is not a one-person job. And so I've been thinking a lot about how can we help get more high-quality content into DrupalLadder.org. And an idea that I'd like to throw out there as a new experiment for our project is, once we hit feature freeze, I wonder if issue sprints, if one of the activities at issue sprints for contributing to core would be contributing Drupal 8 ladder lessons to help other people work on bugs in Drupal 8. So I'm going to a Drupal ladder issue sprint tomorrow night in Maryland, and I'm going to try to work on the Twig ladder and see if I can get one or two other people who are interested in working on the Twig ladder doing that with me, because we need to find ways to generate more high-quality content for the ladder site.
Yeah, and actually, I think that makes a lot of sense to do it as a sprint. I mean, just like we found with getting people to even, like, figure out how to use the tools and work on issues, right? Having buddies around, like a space that's set aside where this is what I'm going to focus on for the next hour or half hour or whatever, and having other people who are doing that with you, there's just something inspiring about that and, like, focused about that. And so I think, yeah, that's probably is a really good way to get people to start working on these new initiatives and new areas of Drupal 8 and help us help others and keep the wheel turning. And of course, as the lesson coordinator, I'm ecstatic about this idea. So yay, plus one from me.
I'm really hoping, again, I the Drupal 8 adoption thing has been weighing on my mind as I've been thinking more about what did happen with Drupal 7. And my hope, again, with these additional ladders, is that those will really help with the uptake as well. If we do have ladders put together with lessons about using Twig, about how using Core might differ from it did before, how to use the content management initiative configuration management, excuse me. If we have a bunch of really good lessons on how to use that stuff, it's going to help people get up to speed a lot more quickly than they were able to on previous versions of Drupal, because we can get a lot of this stuff up and available before Drupal 8 even has a solid release. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And it's probably on the back of that, it's probably worth talking about how the latter fits into the kind of community documentation effort. One of the great things about the latter is the format, where it basically assumes that people are starting from no knowledge at all, and then walks them in a pretty logical progression through the skills and also setting up the tools that they need in order to get to the point that Brock was just talking about, where, you know, they can confidently work with not just the code itself, but also the tools that makes it easy and then also the issue queues, which can present something of a challenge to people who are brand new. It can convey an awful lot of best practice along with the knowledge about Drupal 8 itself. So it's a great way when you're writing lessons. It's a great way to share things that might otherwise be a little out of place and considered maybe too obvious, too simple, too off the track of Drupal. But then it's also a great complement to the documentation that exists on Drupal.org under the community documentation, where that's more kind of a description of discrete topics. The latter strings them all together into a path you can follow.
Yeah, like actual actionable, like, no, follow these exact steps. Like, we give you the words to write and everything. So what, one other thing I wanted to make sure that we touched upon as well, because I found this, I started doing meetups here in Copenhagen and used the Drupal ladder as basically a reason for us to get together. We were doing beer meetups, but like a meetup and get together and actually talk about Drupal and look at computers and things. And so I used the Drupal ladder sort of as the way to initiate that meetup, which was a really handy thing to have. And then we played around with some times, and then we ended up settling in on doing it on a Wednesday night, because Wednesday night here in Europe is the time for the core mentoring office hours, from 6 to 8 p.m. for us here. And so it worked out really well in that if we were doing, say, a learn sprint and working people through actually learning lessons on the ladder, like using various tools. But if there were other people who already sort of had that stuff and wanted to just sort of dive into issues, they could just hop into the core mentoring IRC and talk to people and actually just start working on issues there as well. And so we sort of expanded the resources we had available to us. And so, but beyond that, I haven't actually been as involved with the core mentoring hours as some of you guys have. And so I'm curious, like, I guess I should also say the core mentoring hours is something that a group of core contributors have started to do, where they have office hours where they actually meet in IRC, and it's people who sit down for 2 hours. And if you want to help contribute to core, you can just go into IRC and talk with them. They'll figure out like what your skills you are that you have, what you're interested in, and they can find issues for you that you can work on in core. So like, you don't have to be a coder to do this stuff, right? Like, core has a lot of issues, and yeah, many are code, many are not code. And so they help you find an issue, and then they help you actually work through getting something done, which is, you know, very well aligned and related to what we're doing in the ladder. So I'm curious about what you guys have, your experiences working with the mentoring stuff and in relation to the ladder.
I see them. I see the core mentoring is sort of like a half step above what we're doing with the Drupal ladder. My hope is that, and again, I keep talking about hopes and dreams and things like that. My hope is that people will come to the Drupal ladder events. They will work their way through the lessons and learn things about how to contribute to core, and then take part in the core mentoring hours and apply those skills there, and be able to do that every week if they are so inclined. Although I suppose there is more to that. The core mentoring folks built a tool for tracking the issues that people are working on. It's at DrupalOfficeHours.org. And I haven't got to this yet, but at some point I'm going to work with them to kind of shore up some edges on that tool and kind of make it, hopefully help make it ready for distribution on Drupal.org. The hope is that we will eventually be able to set up our own site like that so that we can use it during issue sprints to track who is working on what and how it's progressing. and make sure we mark issues that need someone to kind of follow up and look at it.
Yeah, and I also, I mean, I also mentioned, like, when there are events like Munich, and this will be happening in Sydney, DrupalCon Sydney, there are often mentoring sprints. So the office hours are on IRC on a regular basis, 2 days a week. But then also at sort of major events, people try and get together and do the same mentoring sprint just in person. And we've definitely been sort of involved with that. Like, we have a community tools workshop that we do, which kind of tries to walk people. It's sort of like an intense day, I think, because it's like real time what all of these other things are, where we like walk people through the first several lessons of the ladder in the morning. So it's sort of like a learn sprint in the morning, but like an extended remix one. And then you're like put into like the core mentoring sprint, and you just work on core issues for the afternoon and stuff like that. So it's kind of like boot camp for the whole process. But it works really, really well. I think like what you're saying, Brock, like, you know, like people work up the ladder and then they can like hop in directly and like working on the core issues with the core contributors. Like it's not like a whole separate thing. That's the whole part of the process. And at the DrupalCons, when we've been doing that sort of combined all day experience, it's awesome. You know, and in Munich, we had people who started out in the workshop that we did in the morning. And then they had their core patch committed by Dries, like live on stage at the end of the day. So it was like soup to nuts, which was pretty amazing. So yeah, I really would like to see more of that kind of handoff or progression, or I don't know, complementary activity. I'm not sure what it is, but it's good stuff. That's what it is.
It's also nice because it addresses the core mentoring hours and the approach to identifying issues and working on them and getting them committed that you were just describing, Addy. It addresses some of the bottlenecks that might not be obvious to people who haven't yet tried it. So speaking of lessons learned, one of the tough things definitely for user groups can be to identify fresh, accessible tickets to work on in the issue queue, and then once they've worked on them, actually to see them get incorporated, you know, committed. So it's great to link up, if among our listeners there are people who are thinking of doing learn and issue sprints, it's definitely worth keeping an eye also on how it's working with the core mentoring and with the sprints that Addy was just describing.
So if there are people out there who do want to get more involved with this, we should give them a little direction, because this is definitely like a, you know, we're a small group of people trying to take a really big idea forward, and we need a lot of people in the community to help make this happen. So, well, I guess the main resource is DrupalLadder.org. So that's like our main landing page with information on it. It has the ladder lessons on there. You can create ladder lessons. It has lots of resources. You can do a lightning talk at your local meetup group about the ladder and see if other people in your community are interested in giving that a whirl or something like that. We have a group on groups.drupal.org. So it's at groups.drupal.org/drupal-ladder. And that's basically where where we have our discussions, like folks who are actually working on the ladder stuff or doing sprints and that kind of a thing, and you want advice or you want some feedback or you have feedback to give, that's sort of the place to do that. And you can also, if you're having an event, like a meetup or something like that, where you're doing a sprint, you can also post that meetup event to the Drupal Ladder group, and then we can know, like, oh, hey, here's somebody else, and we can check in. There's also IRC channel, so we have /Drupal-ladder IRC channel. So if you can always hop in there and see if someone's around, if you have questions and just want to get pointed in the right direction. I don't know, like those are the main ones, of course, in terms of communication. Do you guys have any other immediate thoughts or places to point people?
I have three tips that I always give user groups that want to get their own Drupal ladder stuff going or just want to get involved in the project. And those are, number one, if your user group has 1 hour for a Drupal ladder activity, 1 hour is a perfect amount of time for a learn sprint. So go to DrupalLadder.org, have people pair up and work their way through lessons, but just focus on learning. If your group has 2 hours, this is tip number two, I would direct them towards issue sprints. So again, go to DrupalLadder.org, read Brock's instructions about issue sprints, and 2 hours is a good amount of time to work on something. And tip number three would be, whether you're doing a learn sprint or an issue sprint, get people to pair up in groups of two to work on learning the next rung on the ladder, or to work on digging into an issue in the issue queue. Pairing up into groups of two has been our most successful model for working through these events. Those are my three tips.
Awesome.
And then once you've done those things, if you have questions while it's actually happening, a number of us are monitoring the Drupal Ladder IRC channel. Just a quick tip on that. If you want to get my attention, you can type in my username and associate that with your message, and it will actually ping me. I don't want to invite people to do that necessarily to everyone, but I can certainly imagine that you can pick people out of the list, in the sidebar on your IRC chat client, and ask them questions pretty freely. Wouldn't you guys say that's true? It's a very friendly community, and we're all very eager.
Yeah, I mean, we're all there to help. I mean, that's sort of why we're all hanging out in the channel, is to be there for people to ask us questions and help them get sort of set in the right direction. Another thing I would say is, if people do the learn sprints and they work through the ladder lessons, we get lots of good comments. And so, like, if you're working through a lesson and there's something funky, or you had to do something different, or something didn't work quite the way you expected it to from how the lesson was written, leave a comment so that we can help improve, you know. And if you have, like, I did this, but I needed to do that, if you can give us that information, that helps improve those lessons for everybody. And so if you can just take 2 minutes to let us know how the lessons are working for you, that's really, really helpful to us as well.
Also, like other projects on Drupal.org, we also have issue queues if you want to get involved in moving the various kind of challenges of developing the ladder forward. And so you can find those at drupal.org/project/Drupal-ladder.
And well, I guess another thing we haven't really talked about is the Drupal Ladder website. And actually, somebody tweeted me when I had talked about the fact that we were going to have this podcast. And so someone tweeted and said that I've heard rumors that, oh man, I'm not going to pronounce it right, Osketrock.net, maybe, folks, will be redesigning the Drupal Ladder site. And I was like, what? And then there's an issue in the queue where people have been working on some visual elements for the Drupal Ladder site. Is that, so what's up with that? Does anybody know anybody involved in that part of it?
We would love for them to design a new theme for the site, and we hope they contribute it in the issue queue.
All right, awesome. But yeah, so if people want to actually help with the Drupal Ladder site, we can totally use your help with that too. Because there are lots of little improvements that we do want to be making to the site. And again, it's just a matter of sort of time and focus. So if someone's excited about working on that, let us know and we'll put you to work.
So I'll chime in with just two more thoughts. As a maintainer of the actual distro that is running DrupalLadder.org. So one is that we really seriously very much welcome contributions from anyone. If anyone has an itch they want to scratch to improve usability on the site, you know, please feel free to get involved in that way. That said, I think actually, so there's another way that people can use this if it's helpful for them. I've been real involved in the Drupal for Gov community in Washington, D.C. lately, where we've seen government agencies creating their own Drupal ladder sites for internal use for creating ladders to explain to people how to use or manage their custom sites or custom modules and internal projects. And so that's a way that the distro can be useful to people, and also potentially a good way to get involved in, you know, working on it, working with it, scratching your own itch and fixing something, and then contributing it back to the community.
Nice. Yeah, that's a really good idea. It's a Drupal project. So there's an issue queue and you can get involved and help with bug fixes or improvements and roll it into the repository, and ta-da. So good stuff. There's, of course, I think you could probably corner any of us and we could talk to you for an hour or two about the Drupal ladder stuff. But I think we've got a pretty good overview of sort of what, where we're coming from and what we're trying to achieve. Please do, you know, if it sounds at all interesting, you know, poke around and let us know. Or if you come and you're like, this is too confusing or scary or something like that, you know, let us know that so that we can continue to improve upon that. I think it's really important to understand that it's like we've talked about here, that it's not all about you just giving up your free time. There's a lot of benefits from getting involved, even at a very like kind of surface level and just sort of poking around at things. So I would really encourage folks to come check out Drupal 8 and check out the Drupal ladder and see what you can learn. And I really want to thank you guys for being on the podcast. This was great. I know we had like some time scheduling and coordination things, and I'm really glad that you guys could all make it on, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us, Addie.
Thanks, Addie.
And
thanks for hosting,
Addie.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And then in closing, I will just say if people have follow-ups for the podcast specifically, or if you have questions, if you have ideas about future podcasts you want to hear, you can always get in touch with us on Twitter at twitter.com/DrupalizeMe. Facebook, same thing, facebook.com/DrupalizeMe. Or you can use our contact form at drupalize.me/contact. So feel free to let us know what you're thinking if you have specific questions. And we'll also have this, you can always leave comments on the actual podcast post as well, where we will also have notes with links to all the stuff that we talked about. So awesome. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you, dear listeners. I hope to see some of you around the Drupal ladder in the near future. And until next time, happy Drupaling.